Thank you for downloading this message from New Horizon AOG Church. We pray that it inspires you to arise and shine.
Good morning. Thanks for your prayers. It's good to be alive today, yes? I'm excited of everything that God has done, is doing, and is yet to do. Amen, because we don't need to worry about tomorrow because God is already there. Oh, just a few people think that's good. We don't need to worry about next year because God is already there working on our behalf. And so it's great to see everyone this morning. If I look a bit tired, I probably am, because this week, after being retired for 6 years, somebody twisted my arm to sign for a football team. And so I text them and said, yes, I will come along, and I'm very happy to be a sub. And when I got there, as I am nearly 40, they said, the problem is, Andy, we're short and short. We've only got 11 players. And so I played 90 minutes yesterday. So just getting out of bed was, I need a lot of faith for that. So my legs will start working soon. And good. Do you still love me after last week?
Absolutely.
Yes, good. Who found that really challenging? Yeah. So if you missed it, you can listen to it on podcast. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, right now, whatever's going off in our world, whatever noise we have, not physical noise, but just noise in our heads, whether work, relationships, we just put it down for a second and we say, God, speak to us this morning. Lord, we just found it so amazing that the God who created the universe, who's always been and always will be, wants to speak into our lives because you love us. And Lord, I just pray, whether it's our first Sunday in church this morning or we've been in church all of our lives, we pray that we will never take for granted this amazing opportunity that we can hear the God of the universe, the God who died for us and loves us, to speak into our lives. And Lord, I just pray that we will take full advantage this morning of being found in your house and listening to your word. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Well, I said it at the start of this series that we're going to say this Bible verse before every preach, and I'm going to be preaching on this Bible verse next Sunday. And so it should be on the screen in Isaiah 60. Is it in your head yet? Yeah. No, because repetition is the best form of teaching, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't it? And it says this, and this really is the heart of what kind of the, or we believe all scriptures God breathed, but sometimes God speaks to you about a specific scripture. And God really spoke to me about this scripture, me and Becky, about we want to spend our lives encouraging the people of God to be all that they can be. And this was the word to God's people in Isaiah. And I believe that this is a word to you over your life. And it says this. Are you ready for it, church? Arise and shine, for your light has come. Turn to the person next to you. Oh, I'm really pleased it says that. Because we can't arise and shine if we don't have light. It says, arise and shine, for your light has come. God is here, and he wants to participate in your life, church. Arise and shine, for your salvation's here. The forgiveness of sins is here. The destiny of God is here. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord, the power of God, the supernatural power of God rises upon, not Apple, not Amazon, not Google, but it rises upon the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're special people.
We are.
Yes, we're God's A plan. This is it. This is it.
Come on.
Pretty scary, I know, but this is it.
Yeah.
See, darkness covers the earth, and we all see that today. And thick darkness is over the peoples. I like that. God's a realist, because we live in a fallen world, and sometimes things go wrong. But the Lord rises upon you. Whatever's going off, the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. This what happens when the church arises and shine in the darkness. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Come on, let's give God some praise right now. Let's just say, God, you're amazing. And so we've been on this series of vision and values, and I've got to get a wriggle on this morning. So I'm just going to kind of, because I can just park up on a value. But we looked last week at the higher you hope to build, the deeper you have to dig. Is that right? And values are important because they're at the foundation of our lives, the foundation of any organization. You will find values. And it's important because Paul often talked in the New Testament about contesting for the faith. And right now we live in a very complex world. Oh, just me then. And a lot of different things happening on. And so I just want to be very, I'm laying foundations that we're contesting for the faith. This is what we believe. Yes, as a church. And I'm hoping that's helpful, not just as a church, but also for your life. And because we stand for truth. Because Jesus, the Bible says of Jesus, he came full of grace and truth. Yes, and we have the great challenge of bringing a message of truth into a generation where everything's relevant and there is no truth. You understand what I'm saying? And so we're not just speaking the Bible, but the Bible is truth. Yes? And so that's why it's dynamic and it's powerful. A massive message there. But we believe in absolutes because that's truth. Jesus was truth. And when you're confronted with the truth, sometimes it's lovely and sometimes it's a bit, yeah? Because it's truth. Truth can offend. But God, Jesus came in full of grace and truth. Don't speak truth if you're not full of grace. Yeah? And I think the church damages its reputation and the reputation of God when it deals in truth and not grace. So we want to be a church full of grace, but also full of truth. Are you with me? So we looked last time, and I'm just going to just speak a little section on this. We are a church, one of our values is a church of reverence. Of reverence. I'm not talking about people kind of looking miserable and living miserable lives, because hopefully I don't look that miserable to you. Yeah? Thanks, Alan. Made Alan smile. And so, you know, but it's one of those where we are a church that, in 2019, that I'm a person, we're a church where God comes first all of the time. Absolutely. And that can be challenging at times. So we looked at the what we give reverence to and what a life of reverence looked like. But I just want to park, just as I finish the church of reverence, just very quick on the results or the benefits of reverence, because nobody taught me that sometimes when I was a young person. So in a way, you can come to God and you just say, well, I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't do that and I can't do that and, oh, no. But actually, when we put God first, there's huge things that happen in our lives. Yes? So when we put God first. And just a few things of the results, the benefit or the evidence of what happens when we live with reverence. Because I want to encourage you this morning. See, when we live with reverence, we see restoration.
Yes, we do.
Job 42, looked at Job in the last few weeks. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part.
Yeah.
And you know when everything's going wrong in your life, and right now, I don't know about you, but I just sense the prophetic word for some people. You are at a crossroads in your life. And maybe you think, I'm not sure about God, or, you know, God was meant to help me and my life's a bit of mess, a bit crazy right now. But you know when Job's life was pretty crazy and pretty lost, what was great and what you looked at last week, he still lived with reverence and he still put God first. And you know when because he put God first and he kept God on the throne of his heart, even though his friends were telling him to do not very good things, but in his heart he's saying, God, I want to keep trusting you. I want to keep putting you first in my life. I've made a covenant with my eyes not to fall into temptation and lust and all these things. I'm still going to put, I mean, what a legend Job was.
Yeah.
The Bible says that God restored him. Yes, and I feel right now, some of you, your lives may be crazy and you don't know what to do, but God's calling you just to keep put God first in your life. Yes. Sometimes when we go to crazy situations, we try and control everything. Yes? Yeah. And this is an amazing thing, what I learned. That sometimes I can't control anything, but I can control me. And if I keep God on the throne of my life, then God will control everything. Oh, come on, it's better than that. Come on, that's good. That's good. So just stop, maybe you're a control freak. Stop trying to control everything. Control you. And then it means that God can breathe his life into every aspect of your life. And the word restoration, what I love, it doesn't, the word comes from an actual event in British history when King James II was dethroned. And the whole word comes from when he was, when they reinstated his throne, him to the throne. Now, I don't want to get political because some think he was a good man, some think he was not a very good man. But what I'm trying to say is this, is that if God is at the throne of your life, it is impossible not for restoration to come. Yes? Yeah. So I just thought I'd put that out there. Like Job, Job kept, even through a very painful season, God kept Job on the throne of his life. Yes? And he had every excuse. Because lots of people say this to me, that they when you're feeling bad or when life's not going well, and you say, why did you do that? Well, you know, when you feel it, when you're in pain, you do stupid things. Yes? Or is it just me? You say stupid things, you do stupid things. A shepherd once said to me, a shepherd who actually does it for a living, looks after sheep. And I said, what are the main things about a sheep? He says, sheep do stupid things and sheep die in stupid places. And over 11 and a half years as a senior pastor, that's pretty true. But anyway, I won't go there. I'm talking about myself, obviously, first. So keep God on the throne. When we live with reverence, we see a response. Yes, yes. Do you know God wants to respond over your life?
Come on, Andy.
What are you giving or what are you doing that God can respond to?
Yes?
Yes? Because it's not just about bless me, God, love me. No, let's live with some faith so God can think, oh, I found someone I can put some power and blessing on their lives. Oh, yeah. Says this, because last time we talked about the M word, we talked about money. And he's talking about it again. But this is the good bit. When we live with reverence, we see a response. In Malachi chapter 3, God says to the people, and we still believe it today, that he says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that they may be food in my house. Yes, so that we may have resource to change Langley Mill. Yes, to see Nottingham and Derbyshire and Leicester impacted by the gospel. Just think, church, what we could do.
Yes.
Yeah. We could do amazing things. We could do amazing things. That there may be food, there may be resource in my house. And this is what God says. And if it wasn't in the Bible, I would not believe this. God says, test me in this. Yeah. Come on, church. Yeah. Am I going to be up for it or not? God's saying, you can test me. God says in the Bible, don't test me. The only time he says, test me is with money. Yeah. Only time you can test him. Test me. In this way, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw. Are you ready? Holding on to your seat this morning. See, I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. How do you open the floodgates of heaven over your life? Show reverence in your finances. See, I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be not. There will not be room enough to store it. Hallelujah. Yeah, God wants to respond to our lives and pour out. Now, I'm not saying, don't say, God, I'll put £5 in the offering and I want a Ferrari. You know, sometimes, but, you know, because sometimes God blesses not just in a financial sense, but actually big businesses understand the Bible and they're not Christians and they tithe to charitable purposes. Because businessmen, top businessmen, are not thick. Because sometimes biblical teaching implies in that area as well. Just a bit of worldly understanding there. And so I want to just encourage you in that. You may be thinking, oh, well, I've got this bill and that bill. I just want to encourage you, you know, come on. Put God on the throne of your finances. If you're a new Christian or been on the journey, just do it. And God, I believe God will richly bless you. And you'll open something up over your life that you've never experienced before. And I think that is a very good thing. Secondly, next one, when we live with reverence, we live with revelation. Do you know what you're doing in life? Sometimes we have all life figured out, sometimes we don't. Yes? Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When we show reverence of how we live, this is what it says. Then you will be able to test and approve that what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. You know, when you live with reverence, life becomes less confusing. Because you live in a way that you kind of know what God wants you to do. And life becomes really less confusing. So, you know, it's not just about you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. No, if you put God first, then God expands something in your life. And he opens something over your life where life becomes less complicated. And say, do you know what? I'm getting a vision for my life. What's the vision for your life? You know, what do you want to be remembered for? What do you want to be on your gravestone? Yeah? What do you want to achieve? Yeah. You know, we don't want selfish ambition, but we want some godly ambition. Yeah? Come on, start to dream again. When we live with reverence, we see, I love this word, rejuvenation. You'll begin with, oh, and that's very unusual for me. Restoration, response, revelation, rejuvenation. Bible college got to me, so yeah, it's something still rattling around in there. In 2 Samuel, it's one of my favorite verses in scripture where King David, he's saying his last words. And he's speaking to Solomon and he's speaking to a future generation that will take on the nation of Israel to take it into everything that God had called it to be, including building the temple. And Samuel says this, David says this in 2 Samuel, the Spirit of the Lord spoke through me, his word was on my tongue. Oh, come on. I'd follow that leader. The God of Israel spoke. The rock of Israel said to me, listen, church, and if you are in a position of leadership or you lead a house in any capacity, this is what it says. When one rules over people in righteousness, when he rules or her rules in the fear of God, something happens. Yeah? Yeah? When you're a boss or you lead people in righteousness, being good, you're not crooked, you don't lie, you're not two-faced, you're not hypocritical. When you live good, and when he rules in the fear of God or her in the fear of God, he or her is like the light of the morning sunrise. Oh, come on, we need some people like that in the world. On a cloudless morning, listen, like the brightness after rain that brings grass from the earth. Oh, come on. Oh, come on. It's worth a clap, church. And I want to say that is incredible leadership advice, because when we live right, God rejuvenates something in our lives and in other people. So I can go into a barren place and the grass is going to come if I show reverence with how I live. If we live God-fearing, righteous life, not always getting it right, but trying our best, being honest before God, being accountable, something will. So right now, maybe you're in a barren place. Maybe a barren place is intimidating you, but I know that with my God, rejuvenation can come, because when we live with God, we will be like the brightness after rain that brings grass from the earth. Amen. And we just see that in every aspect of David's life. And how do we know that? Because in the portion of the scripture, after it kills Goliath, the king gets jealous, wants to kill David off. And David finds himself in something called a cave and an adullam, hiding, fearing for his life with a bunch of misfits. Yes. But because David lived in righteousness and he led in the fear of God, what happened? David became, he captured Jerusalem, he became the king, he became one of the most influential leaders of all time. And this kind of band of misfits, he turns them into the greatest army, one of them that's ever lived, the mighty men. Yes? Why? Because he led with righteousness. Yeah. And he lived in the fear of God. That brings grass from the earth. Yeah. Amen? So that's that bit completed. So we're a church of reverence. When we live with reverence, we don't just change our lives, but we also change the lives of others. Are you with me? That's why it's important to God. It's important to us, but also we influence the lives of others. We're ready for the value too. So we're a church of reverence. We're also a church of relevance. Turn to the person next to you and say, relevance. Relevance. People say to me all the time, is God and Jesus still relevant? Andy, you don't go to church. You're not a vicar. You don't look like a vicar at all. Jesus, John 3:60. Jesus, that's not a book in the Bible. John is. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. That's important in today's context. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Church, if we believe that that is true, which we do, then the Christian message is relevant for every single person alive today. Every single birth that baby that's being born right now, Jesus is relevant for them. Because if we believe in God, we know that through Jesus is the only way, the only way. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. The only way we can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And so the message of the cross, the message of forgiveness, I don't get intimidated that our culture finds it difficult. I get excited. Because maybe it's not just been presented right, because we don't change the message, but if maybe we need to present it in a right way, and I believe that I'm just so excited that when people hear the gospel, people think, yeah, that makes sense. Yes? Four things that we cannot lose as a church if we're going to be a relevant church. A few things that we cannot lose if we're going to be a relevant church, and think about your life. Number one, never lose your confidence in the message and the person of Jesus Christ. Yeah. I have a great conviction and a great sadness that sometimes the church may have think that Jesus is unattractive. Can I just say, when Jesus walked on earth, crowds followed him. Yes? My God is irresistible. Yeah. And sometimes we don't want to be a church that makes Jesus ugly, because we have to represent him. Yes? Yeah. Isaiah says, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. Yeah. Oh, that's important today. Yeah. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Yeah. I don't know, maybe you're here, you may think, Andy, I don't believe in Jesus, I'm not bothered, I don't really want to be here anyway. Maybe you come with parent or friends, I don't know. I want to say, God loves you. God's got a plan for your life.
Yes, he does.
And I know why. Because God has asked me this morning when I was 16, come and speak to you. I just believe, don't write God off. He's amazing. I love him. He's awesome. We have a wonderful, so we believe in a wonderful person of Jesus, don't we, church? We have a wonderful message. Hope, love, forgiveness. Come on, church, let's fall in love back with the message of Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah, come on, let's get confident again in the message of Jesus. That's why we're not going to be a relevant church. We become apologetic and we don't know how to communicate the message of Jesus. Well, maybe this week you've got to get your Bible out. Like, how am I going to communicate the message of Jesus. Because sometimes we get intimidated, because in Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18, it says this, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. So there's some people who are not going to get what you're on with, and they may not understand you, and we go, oh, we don't like not being liked, so we'll just, oh, we don't like, so we'll just be quiet. But then what does it say? Some people say it's foolish, but to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. Yeah. Come on. Sorry. Ow, that hurt my hand. Because the Bible says the cross is a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But if we talk about, which I'll come on to, but if we talk about Jesus anyway, God can come and speak to hearts and lives. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So don't lose your confidence in the person of Jesus and the message of Jesus. If we do, we won't be a relevant church. If we do, in 10 years' time, this building will be empty. Yes? Never lose your confidence in understanding your context. This is really important. So we've got the man, we've got the message, and now we have to understand the context and the culture of the world that we live in, and your workplace, your neighbours, your family, and how we're going to apply the message into the context and culture. Yes? Paul the great apostle, why was he really successful? Because he understood the man, he had a vision, he understood the message. But what he was really good at, he understood the context and the culture with how people were living, and he didn't change the message, but he brought the message and he adapted, not that he didn't adapt the message, but he presented it in a way where the listeners could hear it and understand it. Are you with me? Like the message, Paul's method and message in Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when he's addressing people who lived in Jerusalem. I've done this before, if you've been in church a long time. So what Peter preached about in Jerusalem to Jews, and the way he did it was very different to the way Paul spoke the message. Because Peter's talking to people who knew the Old Testament. They knew, when he talks about the Lamb of God. Yes? They understood what he was talking about. You know, if I went to the Great Northern and say, we believe in the Lamb of God, the sanctifying power of the blood. We take communion, we're going to drink blood and eat flesh. Ah! Come on, we can have a bit of a laugh. If you've been in church, I mean, it's kind of like, oh my goodness me, these guys are off the tree, please. I'm not going there, you're freaking me out. What I've just said is true. We believe in the sanctifying blood of the Lamb. Absolutely, there's no forgiveness of sin and there's no hope for humanity, and it's the end of the world. But how do we present that they are going to try and understand what we're about? You with me?
Yeah, good.
I love it. Paul, he goes to Ephesus and he sees a statue and he sees a poem, the latest Ed Sheeran song. In you I live, breathe and have my being, and this poem. And Paul, that's his opening line. It's his preach. Ed Sheeran says to you, I don't know what song. Lego House or something. Now, you're meant to be young. I don't know these things. So today I'm going to do a school assembly, or I'm going to talk to you about a Lego house. And bring the gospel into that. Jesus builds you, and block by block. I don't know, something like that. Right, I've got to get a wriggle on. So we have to understand our context, yeah? The reason why churches are closing very fast, and please pray me in my new role, because they're finding it hard to understand their context.
Yeah.
They're finding it hard to understand their context. Never lose your confidence in the power of your story. You, whoever you are, have an amazing story, because it's your story. And people can debate Genesis and Revelation and all that stuff, but they can't argue with your story. I want to say this morning, church, you know, we need to be more confident in our story, in our testimony. Yes? Your testimony has the power to change people's lives. Yes. I always talk, that's why I say, when I was 16 in Costa Brava, in the second biggest underground nightclub in Europe, God spoke to me and said, Andy, I want you to be a minister. That's my story. What's your story? Share your story, church, come on. Are we scared of our story? I'm not ashamed of my story. I've shared my story in the weirdest of places, in pubs, in the shower at football. Singing Bohemian Rhapsody as well. But anyway, it's a football thing. One person's story in the Bible changed a whole town. The Langley Mill could be changed by one story. In John 4, I'm going to wriggle on, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told him everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And because of the words, because of his words, many of them believed. One lady who Jesus transformed went back and said, this Jesus guy is amazing. And a whole town got changed. What was the first sermon that was preached by the church? It wasn't a man. Oh, I praise the Lord for that. It was a woman. John 20, 18. Oh, I can't preach. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to speak to my neighbor. What does Mary Magdalene, this is the first preach in the Bible. I have seen the Lord. Come on. That's it. I have seen the Lord. Turned the world upside down, that did. Just one preach. You think he's dead? I have seen the Lord. Oh, come on, Mary Magdalene, get in. Never lose your power, never lose your confidence in the power of the Holy Spirit. When Acts 2, when people heard this, when Peter was preaching, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Amen. I want to say, this is why preaching's foolishness. You know, when you preach, it's not about how good you think you sound. I'm sorry. I believe that when I'm talking right now, when I open my mouth, God, through the Holy Spirit in this atmosphere, is speaking to you. And because I have that confidence, I preach. And I'm getting a bit tired of people when you ask, oh, I'm so worried about not looking a fool. It's not about that. Just speak. Just let God speak. Right now, you may be thinking, Andy, you've been reading my mail today. I haven't. But I'm just confident every time I open my mouth, if I'm talking Jesus in the Bible, God is going to speak. Yes, don't underestimate the power of God. Then never lose your confidence in the power and the compassion of God. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. That's relevant. He has sent me to bound up the brokenhearted. That's very relevant. That is, to proclaim freedom to the captives and to release from darkness the prisoners. Compassion's always relevant. A text when people are ill, a letter. We're an incredible, compassionate church. You know, Jesus wept, he cried over stuff. I want to say that when we become the hands and feet of Jesus, something beautiful happens. And that's the last value, and I'm finished in 5 minutes. So we're a reverent church, we're a relevant church. Number three, we're a community. A Christian community. That's what we are. Family, community, however you want to call it. I love being a part of this community. I've been in church 40 years. I won't change it for anything. I love being a part of the community of believers. It is amazing. The riches that you get from being a Christian, you get to join a family and a community. A community says this, a group of any size whose members reside in a specific location, sharing common interests or a common heritage. And in our case, we share a common faith. It's important that we have a value of family and community, because I want to explain this. Because God lives in community. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, He lives in community. God has designed society to live in community. And sometimes, you know, I'll come on to this. Sometimes community can be difficult and family. Yeah. But we still need to be committed to community. The two illustrations, if you're a Christian here in the Bible, are sheep. Yes? And sheep don't live on an island. Sheep don't sit at home by themselves. Sheep only thrive, yes, you've guessed it, in, everyone say it, community. We want to be a community that values each other and honours one another, including honouring our pastors and our leaders and our staff, because we are a community. We have an amazing staff and leaders, you know. Some, honestly, the work that goes into this church is just unbelievable. All the leaders, they're all volunteer their time, and the staff, just listening to Naomi, helping a young person, earwigging in a conversation. I was upstairs on Friday. You did an amazing job, Naomi. It's really difficult, but you did an amazing job. Can we just honour them? Let's give them all of a clap. They just guys are awesome. All the leaders, all of the staff. Honour them. I know it's easy for you while you're the senior pastor. Don't worship them, but honour them. Honour them, speak well of them, look after them. Ask them how they're doing. Not just let them listen to how you're not doing good or how your life's not that, but just, they've got lives too, families too. Excuse me if I dash off later because I want to get back to my boys and wife and well. Because 1 Thessalonians, we ask you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labour among you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you. So let's honour them. Community is important because it brings assistance in times of trouble. Ecclesiastes 4 brings us some teaching now. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labour. Just think, as we keep doing in community, the good. Just look at this building, what we did together, yeah? If either of them fall down, one can help another up. But pity anybody who falls and has no one to help them. This is why, well done, church. I love church. Well done for coming this morning and being in the house of God. And maybe there's times when you love coming to the house of God, and then sometimes there's times where you think, oh, I'm not really feeling it. I want to say this morning, come to the house of God. Yes. Come to the house of God. I want to say this morning that I've always been a person. I love the house of God. When I was a teenager, all my life, my grandfather had Parkinson's disease. He had a debilitating illness. And I was thinking this week of just being in the community of faith where he was loved, he was championed, he was prayed for, he was accepted. And me, as his grandson, felt secure, felt loved, and felt it was all right. And the reason why I'm passionate about this is because I've been a very blessed man all my life, because I have never lived outside of community. I've lived in a family of love and acceptance, and I've been in a community of love and acceptance. And all I want to do in my life is I want to build a church of community, of love, on an acceptance. And right now you may feel you're the loneliest person in the world. I want to say you are welcome here. You can sit next to me. Maybe you walk in Starbucks and everyone's got friends and you just feel you're alone. I want to say this morning, we exist for you. Because we're building a community. A community here, which is great. I'm going to finish. When we believe in community, we see progress. Philippians 1 verse 5, because of your partnership in the gospel, from the first day and night, we're seeing progress. As a community, we need to make sure we maintain good relationships. Everyone say amen. What did David Hines say? Four stages of relationship. I love this. This is wonderful. Stage two of a relationship. This is all right, this is. Stage three of a relationship. I'm not sure if I want to stay here. People have faults and failings. Stage four, it's not perfect. And I'm not perfect, you know that. It's not perfect, but I'm, let's say the word, committing. Oh, it's a bit of a swear word today, but I'm committing to it. Yeah? A good community needs gracious people, forgiving people, respectful people, and people with relationship intelligence. I'm coming to an end now. Matthew 18, verses 15, 17. Are you ready? Do you want some relationship intelligence? This is one of the most important words you'll ever hear, especially today, because when people don't agree today, people run away. I want to say, if you run away, you run away with it. I'm not a person that runs away with things, which means I like to have hard conversations sometimes. It says this, if your brother or your sister, so we're going to do this in church. If one time your brother or sister sins against you, yeah, you don't whack it on Facebook, yeah, you don't gossip and tell 150 people that, oh, Pastor Annie, or whoever, you don't do that. I'm sorry, you don't live like that as a Christian. You can if you're non-Christian, but if you're a Christian, you've got to live better than that, because we're living according to the words of Jesus. And some people will offend you sometimes in church, and they'll say things, and you think, oh, I'm not sure about it, and they'll do things, and you get, ooh, it's got a bit quiet right now. Because I'm sure if you've been long enough, you ain't been offended in church. I mean, my journey of ministry was so easy. It was unbelievable. Everyone loved me. You know, I have my own fan club. Not, but anyway, won't go there. So if a brother or sister offends you, you go to that person first and you say, excuse me. You go to the person first and say, excuse me, you've upset me. Yeah? Or I've been offended, I feel hurt. And if we're good Christians, we might not agree, but we still have compassion, and you talk it over, yeah? And if they don't listen, then you take someone else with you and try and explain it. Or you take one of the staff or one of the leaders and you take them with you and try and journey that through so that every matter may be established by testimony of two or three witnesses. I want to say this morning, this is key. If we're going to build a great community, we've got to live like this, yeah? If you get offended, bang, gone, bang, gone, bang, gone. That's why after last week's message, I'm just pleased you're all here. You know, oh, I like this Bless Me Club, but when it gets, I'm gone. No, we've got to be committed to anything. Because we're family and we're community. But that's just some helpful advice of how to live. And as a community, Hebrews 10, this was an important verse. It says, do not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but what? But encourage one another all the more as you see the day when Jesus Christ is going to return back. I finish with this because time's gone. How do we describe New Horizon in three words? Is it on the screen? Which are our key values? We are a reverent, relevant community that exists to know that, you'll have to come next week. Naomi's going to close in prayer for us.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For any more information or to download our weekly podcast, please go to www.newhorizonchurch.org.uk.